pop culture to politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great season in this great nation with the football season full sway. And with the baseball playoffs going forward, congratulations to the Boston Red Sox and to Red Sox Nation. And the Red Sox moving a step forward after a very successful and exciting playoff series. And one of the things that people love about sports is with a nation so divided and so troubled, it seems like sports is a great arena for good-natured division, rivalry. You can get your mind off a lot of the serious political stuff that divides the country so profoundly. Well, not anymore. Not really. When in the very middle of Monday Night Football, last night, there was a breaking news on ESPN delivered concerning somebody who used to work for ESPN. And the coach of the Oakland Raiders, his name is John Gruden. If you hadn't heard of him before, you certainly have now. And all because, did I say the Oakland Raiders? Well, that's just going back into history. It is the Las Vegas Raiders now. And in any event, John Gruden is the coach for them. And if you hadn't heard of him before, you've heard of him now, because of an email that he sent 10 years ago in 2011. And what was the horrifying content of that email? We will get to that. But this is the way that his resignation, which was basically required because of this raging controversy, the way his resignation was announced on air. Clip 10.
Welcome back to Monday Night Football, where we have breaking news out of Las Vegas, where moments ago the Las Vegas Raiders and John Gruden officially parted ways. Earlier this evening, the New York Times uncovered a trail of emails dating back 7 years in which John Gruden had a clean sweep of offending NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell, women, gays, minorities, all sorts of people. A short time ago, the Raiders owner Mark Davis arrived at the team's training facility, found Gruden, the two men met, and John Gruden no longer is the head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders.
Okay, momentous news. The Raiders, I believe, are 3-1. 3-2, they lost last night. And, still a successful team right now, but with a new head coach and a new acting head coach. Okay, so what is all this about? It talks about these emails. This is troubling in one sense. And first of all, if you read the emails, the whole story came out in a misleading way, because first there was one email that had come out where the center, the centrality of that email is now no longer operative because they found dozens and dozens more that were potentially offensive. But the original email was apparently an insult that was administered toward Damaris Smith. And Damaris Smith was the head of the players' union, and he had some very strong disagreements, obviously, with Coach Gruden. And Gruden was actually a commentator at the time that he wrote that email, which was 11 years ago. It was in 2011. And that email said simply, and you'll pardon me, I hope this won't offend anyone, I am simply saying this over to report the news, not to make anyone feel uncomfortable or to trigger anyone or to show any lack of sensitivity. Because it was a ridiculous email to send, and it was a ridiculous insult. But there are lots and lots of issues that concerning it. What apparently Gruden said at that time was he called Damaris Smith, Dumb Morris Smith, and then he said he has lips like Michelin tires. And, of course, the whole idea of big lips or what used to be called ubangy lips, that kind of thing, that has been a traditional trope, as people said in a lot of the coverage a traditional theme in racist caricatures and racist attacks on people of color. And if that were the only thing, I mean, there seemed to be a determination for Gruden to stay where he was, to basically say, look, I don't have a racist bone in my body. Obviously, he's working in a sport and with a team where not only is there a very prominent number of black stars and even some black coaches, though that has been a big problem trying to get more of them. But in the game, I think the most recent figures show they're almost 70% black players. And so it's a real problem if somebody is harboring those attitudes. But the other problem, on the other hand, is, okay, these emails all came out, including the second wave of emails that came out that showed other unfortunate comments that Gruden had made. Those came out concerning investigations that had really nothing to do with Gruden or his racist attitudes or any racist behavior, which we really haven't heard much about. This is before the game last night. A former NFL star wide receiver named Randy Moss got emotional talking about the situation and was demanding action. Listen, this is clip 15.
I get emotional talking about it because of situations like this. My civil rights were taken, were kind of messed with in high school over the color of my skin. And now being able to play 14 years in the National Football League, to have something like this of a leader. We talk about leadership. We give guys these big contracts because they want to be able to lead 70 men, coaches, equipment staff, and managers to the number one goal, and that's to win a championship. And for us to be moving back and not forward in 21st century, like I said, man, National Football League, this hurts me. The clock is ticking, man. I'm sorry.
Okay, the clock didn't have long to tick. Look, the question I think here that needs more attention is the need to be careful and the need to be judicious and the need not to show an ugly side of your own nature or your own attitudes, even in private emails. Because these were not public statements that Gruden made. They were communications that he had to other people, sometimes prominent people, sometimes the head of what is called the Washington football team, because we can't say, certainly not after Indigenous Peoples Day yesterday, we can't say the name, the former name of the Washington football team, which I don't know how much longer it's going to be known as the Washington football team. This is all very complicated, and there are very heated feelings on every side of this. There are some folks who suggest that the way that this came out, Gruden was set up, that there was an attempt to get him out. One of the things he has complained about, and one of the things that he said, is he was critical of Michael Sam, who was the first openly gay player to be drafted. He didn't think there should be drafting of gay players. He didn't feel that women should be used as field referees. He had a bunch of attitudes that were unacceptable to the current politically correct orientation of the NFL. Does that mean that he is a horrible human being? He may be a horrible human being. We don't know right now. But it seems that obviously he was an extremely misguided human being to go ahead and tweet so freely. There are apparently 600,000 tweets they went over in terms of finding this material. Everyone seems to have an opinion on this. If you're among those, 1-800-955-1776. We'll be back with much more and the political ramifications of the whole case coming up. on the Michael Medved Show on Monday night, last night, the coach of the Las Vegas Raiders, John Gruden, issued the following statement. It brings tears to my eyes at how many things he was able to do. That's what actually Mark Davis, the owner of the Raiders, told the Mercury News. And this is before the whole scandal. He said he did it because it was the right thing to do, not because people wanted him to do it. People deserved the opportunity, and he believed in that. He's talking about the fact that, ironically, considering the fact that there are a lot of homophobic remarks, and when I say homophobic remarks, using the term queers, now, that's ironic because, of course, there are universities that have departments of queer studies, and there are a lot of homosexual activists who use the term queer proudly. But when you're using it derisively, of course, it's different and more problematic. There, it was also used the term to refer to the commissioner of football, the F word, which I don't think you're even supposed to say at all now, the F word to refer to a homosexual. That was in these emails. In any event, Gruden will be replaced as Raiders head coach by Rick Bisaccia. He, on Monday night, issued the following statement, quote, "I have resigned as head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. I love the Raiders and do not want to be a distraction. Thank you to all the players, coaches, staff, and fans of Raider Nation. I'm sorry, I never meant to hurt anyone." And again, it's sad. Do you know how much money he was getting? Jeremy, did you see how much money he was getting with his contract? He had a $100 million contract. It's 10 years, but now does that contract get paid out? They're clearly going to find some way that it won't be. There's a piece in the New York Post by Steve Serby, and he points out the irony about this. The saddest irony is that one of John Gruden's Raiders, Carl Nassib, became the first active openly gay NFL player back in June, when he summoned the courage to end years of agonizing over it. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell said in a statement, "The NFL family is proud of Carl for courageously sharing his truth today. Representation matters. We share his hope that someday soon, statements like his will no longer be newsworthy as we march toward full equality for the LGBTQ plus community. We wish Carl the best of luck this coming season." And the Raiders, his team, tweeted, and also John Gruden's team, "Proud of you, Carl." Members of the NFL Brotherhood, including Saquon Barkley, seconded that emotion. "And you wonder," writes Steve Serby, "today what John Gruden truly harbored in his heart when he told ESPN, 'I learned a long time ago what makes a man different is what makes him great.'" Okay. He lashed out in the emails at NFL owners, at coaches and media. He called Roger Goodell, the commissioner, a F-word, meaning homosexual. He apparently is not. And a clueless anti-football, and then P-word. When they're spelling it out in the New York Post, the P-word, which means a little kitten, I mean, really? Is that word now to be also avoided in public discourse? I guess, in that context. And he also railed against former Rams coach Jeff Fisher for drafting queers following the club selection of Michael Sam in 2014. He was forced to apologize to the National Football League Players Association executive director Demora Smith, who is black, for writing to a friend of his who was an executive over at the Washington football team. Demora Smith has lips the size of Michelin tires, and on and on and on. And Steve Serby points out, he says, there's the other irony. The late, great Al Davis was Mark Davis's father. It was Al Davis, so long the owner of the Oakland Raiders before they moved to Las Vegas, who hired the first modern-era black coach, Art Schell, in 1989. And Amy Trask, who became the league's first female chief executive 8 years later. It was Al Davis who was years ahead of virtually everyone when it came to racial diversity. Just equality, baby. And he writes that Al Davis presumably was rolling over in his silver and black grave on Monday night. This is all extraordinary because it should be a reminder to everybody that when you send something on email, it's forever. And it can get you into all kinds of trouble. Concerning the matter of his contract, which I had just cited before, USA Today is now reporting Gruden signed a 10-year, $100 million deal to come back to the Raiders in 2018. Upon his abrupt departure last night, a settlement package with the Raiders has not been finalized. A person with knowledge of Gruden's contract told USA Today Sports on Tuesday, that's today, it's unresolved, said the person who requested anonymity, because the matter is fluid. There's this from NFL linebacker and a commentator for Fox Sports, Emmanuel Acho, who had this to say about the departure of John Gruden. This is clip 13.
Couple quick thoughts on John Gruden, and boy, I got a lot of them. First things first, get him the heck up out of there, man. No place in our society for language like that, for speech like that, for thoughts like that, particularly for people in positions of power, not in sports or in life. Now, for those saying it was in 2011, it was such a long time ago. Keep in mind, he was 48 years old in 2011, but more importantly, the dude said he didn't have a blade of racism in him while being racist, which means he didn't even realize what he was doing was wrong, so he hasn't worked to fix it. So those thoughts John Gruden had in 2011, if he ain't worked to fix them, he still has them now. But y'all, this is why it's imperative to have minorities as voices and faces in positions of power in society, so you don't have rampant ignorance running around like this. The dude was homophobic. The dude was racially insensitive. The dude was sending topless photos of Washington cheerleaders to the president of the Washington football team. Make it make sense. And lastly, dude ain't even a good coach right now. He's 67 and 82 since he won the Super Bowl. That's a 45% winning percentage. He gotta go, period.
Is that the untold story here, that his failures as a coach set him up for this? And what about the lessons concerning cancel culture and other concerns, particularly among American conservatives? We will get to that and more coming up on The Medved Show. On The Michael Medved Show, you still have some time to take advantage of a tremendous price reduction in our MedHead Plus memberships. And what this means is that you not only get all the normal benefits of a MedHead membership, which is access to this show 24 hours a day in streaming form, a commercial-free, which can save some time if you don't enjoy listening to our wonderful commercials, which of course I enjoy listening to because it helps to keep the show alive. But in any event, with MedHead Plus membership, you get commercial-free access to the show and absolutely free access to all of our MedVet history programs. That's new. All of our MedVet history programs in our MedVet history store. That's some 80 different titles, all about different aspects of American history, including some of the most controversial subjects in the history of this country, the Vietnam War. We have a program called The Three Big Lies about Vietnam, and there are big lies out there. We have material on big lies about America itself and our religious history and much more. That's all available at MedvedHistoryStore.com. And one of the things you might want to do is go up to Medved History Store, see that everything we have available that becomes available to you free when you join as a Medhead Plus member at a cost of, well, it's less than 20 cents a day. Yeah, it really gives you access 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Go to michaelmedved.com. There is so much that you wonder about why it is that America seems to be particularly obsessed with this particular issue right now. And given the fact that the original outrage against John Gruden of the Las Vegas Raiders, the original outrage was that he had said 11 years ago he had insulted Demoris Smith, who is with the National Football League Players Association, the union for the football players. And again, a lot of this, you have to know something about what's going on. I mean, one of those things that union has been concerned about was the idea of NFL players, even people who've played for just a couple of years, sometimes experiencing serious brain damage and creating liability for people who have actually given their life and health to play football, and questions of helmet designs and greater safety. And there are lots of serious issues aside from the issues of racism and representation. And by the way, some of the anti-football propaganda that has been promulgated out there, it just isn't true. And you can try this with all the fact-check information that you want. The story that you used to hear that somehow during the Super Bowl there was an allegation that football was such a violent game, such a negative game, that during the Super Bowl every year wife-beating went up. There was domestic abuse. You can't even say wife-beating anymore because it's really partner beating, and yes, sometimes there are women who beat up their husbands. That's one of the astonishing things. There is domestic abuse and spousal abuse that goes both ways. But that was all supposed to increase during the Super Bowl. Now, that got started. It's one of those things that got started and got repeated endlessly, 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 endlessly when it wasn't true. But there are enough issues surrounding football and surrounding American sports and American sports obsessions. And, of course, it's particularly upsetting. The idea, if someone, who was in a field or an amusement or an entertainment format that in which black people were underrepresented, say. Well, take hockey, for goodness sake. We have the Seattle Kraken that are just opening up our first major league hockey team here in Seattle in 100 years. And, yeah, we had Seattle teams winning the Stanley Cup years back. But, okay, now we have the Kraken. The Kraken and the sport of hockey, for whatever reason, has never had a heavy black representation. Football does. And so if you had an NHL coach who said or wrote or communicated the same things that John Gruden did, I think it's unlikely that he would be immediately fired and dumped. And that makes a certain amount of sense. If you are working in a profession where most of your high-paid associates and your most important associates, the people on whom your success and your livelihood and your life depends, are overwhelmingly black, disproportionately black, then for goodness sake, what kind of idiot are you to somehow express sentiments that can only be viewed as racist or with a racist tinge to them? I mean, wouldn't you, just out of self-preservation, just out of the ability to work together well with the people who surround you, wouldn't that militate against just letting it fly with your comments about somebody's lips, for goodness sake? Or, for that matter, if you're in a position and you're working with, the whole reason this whole thing came out is there was an investigation of the Washington football team, and Bruce Allen, who is the name of the guy that he sent these various troublesome emails and photographs. There were topless photographs of cheerleaders. Now, I don't know where the cheerleaders came from, where the photographs of the cheerleaders came from, if they were given to Coach Gruden or whether they were just generally available. But this is also, if you're getting basically $10 million a year, that's $10 million a year. It's a $100 million contract for 10 years. That's an awfully big contract, and it's not for somebody who throws the ball or takes the hits. It's somebody who runs the team. And it's one of the reasons, I think that basically people love the idea about stories of coaches and inspiring coaches. For goodness sake, they enjoy the story of Ted Lasso, which is completely fictitious, of course. But it's the idea that you can have all the fun and all the enjoyment and all the tremendous financial rewards of sports without having your body brutalized in through the daily practice and then game days themselves. So, of course, being a coach is a desirable position. And Gruden has blown all of that, and it's not for one email. It's for at least 7 years of emails that they have reviewed. And they reviewed these because they were looking for evidence of apparently other kinds of misbehavior and inappropriate conduct by people at the Washington football team with which he was corresponding. And this Bruce Allen, to whom he sent this most controversial email from 2011. He was fired, dropped from the NFL, from in his role as an executive with the Washington football team back in 2019. New York Times reports Gruden's emails to Allen, who was fired by the Washington football team at the end of 2019, were reviewed as part of an NFL investigation of workplace misconduct within the Washington franchise that ended this summer. Goodell instructed league executives to look at more than 650,000 emails. How do you even do that? During the past few months, including those in which Gruden made offensive remarks. Last week, Goodell received a summary of their findings, and the league sent the Raiders some of the emails written by Gruden. That's how this whole thing came out. And where does it go? And how do we move on, as they say? We'll get to that coming up on The Medved Show. And on The Michael Medved Show, there are people who have stepped forward, and a number of them, who said they've worked with John Gruden, and he's a wonderful human being and a great coach. He certainly was a successful coach. He won the Super Bowl with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers when he was a coach there. That's after he had been initially with the Raiders and then had been traded away. And yeah, he was traded away as a coach. He was considered valuable enough and then came back to the Raiders. But his former star and an ESPN commentator, and Keyshawn Johnson, I believe, was on that Super Bowl team with John Gruden, and he weighed in with his reaction to Coach Gruden's agony right now and his resignation. Listen.
I didn't know that John would say things like that and put them in an email. He just always been a fraud to me. He just always been a fraud to me. Never from day one, he's been a used car salesman. And people bought it because he inherited a championship team built by Tony Dungy and Rich McKay. And he came in there with a little bit of different energy that we had with Tony. And it kind of kicked us over the top to get our world championship, which I am grateful for. But at the same time, I also saw through who he was through that journey of getting a championship.
Okay, there's now also, of course, another football coach in the news with a world of controversy, and people are particularly aware of it here in the state of Washington, because that football coach, whose name is Nick Rolovich, happens to be the top-paid public official in Washington State. And the Seattle Times is reporting, Washington State football coach Nick Rolovich is seeking a religious exemption from the state COVID-19 vaccination mandate, and he has declined to get vaccinated despite the urging of his mentor, according to a published report. USA Today's reporting is based on comments by June Jones, who coached Rolovich at Hawaii. And he said, quote, "He believes the way he believes, and he doesn't think he needs the vaccination. It's like I told him. It's not about him anymore. It's about the people around you and the credibility of the university, and he's got to take one for the team." Rolovich announced in July that he had declined the COVID-19 vaccine but kept his reasons private. A month later, Washington Governor Inslee issued a mandate requiring state employees in higher education to get vaccinated by October 18th. It's coming up. It's a week from now. The order allows for exemptions for medical and religious reasons. If he doesn't comply with the mandate, Rolovich could lose his job in the middle of the season. He's not getting $10 million a year, as John Gruden was in the pros, but for the Washington State University, he's getting $3.2 million a year. At least that's reported. So he would be giving that up if he refuses to get his vaccination. And the president of Washington State, whose name is Kurt Schultz, told the New York Times, "At most universities, people pay attention to what the university president, the football coach, the basketball coach, and the athletic director have to say. That's just the reality. People look at them for leadership because they're highly visible and highly compensated. It doesn't help when you have people who are contrary to the direction we're going." And the direction they're going is to get everybody, students and faculty and everybody working at the university, vaccinated. Because the people overwhelmingly who are attending the university or sending their children to attend the university believe in vaccinations and want to be in an environment where most people are vaccinated. This was fascinating to me. Rolovich had until October 4th to file his request for a religious exemption. And these are the questions on the form for a religious exemption. And I think it makes some sense the way that they ask these questions. Question number one, employee name and your WSU ID number. Okay. Question number two, describe the sincerely held religious belief, practice, or observance that is the basis for your request for a religious exemption. Question number three, briefly explain how your sincerely held religious belief, practice, or observance conflicts with WSU's COVID-19 vaccination requirement. Question number four, how long have you held the above religious belief, practice, or observance, or is it just something you just fastened on now? And then they go on. Question number five, two more. If you have ever received an FDA-authorized or approved vaccine at any time in your life, please explain how your sincerely held religious belief, practice, or observance causes you now to object to the COVID-19 vaccine compared to the other vaccines you received. Interesting question and a relevant one, seems to me. And then question number six, if the request for accommodation is temporary, please identify the anticipated date that the accommodation is no longer needed. And, okay, this also goes to another story that is just astonishing to me, and it's embarrassing. And it's a headline says, Proud Boy Rabbis, a rabbi, singular, and it is singular, offers religious exemptions for COVID-19 vaccines. A South Florida rabbi, this reported by the Miami New Times, a South Florida rabbi and member of the far-right group, the Proud Boys, is offering religious exemptions for COVID-19 vaccine requirements to Jews and Gentiles alike. Now, I've not met this alleged rabbi, whose name is Asher Metza, but his status as a recognized rabbi in any denomination of Judaism is it's kind of dubious. And the religious exemption letter, which he sends out, and he's selling, of course, he goes by Rabbi PB, as and Rabbi Proud Boys on the Telegram messaging app. He began advertising religious exemption letters for people who don't want COVID-19 vaccines last week on the public Proud Boys Telegram channels. Reached by New Times over the phone last week, Metza estimates that he has already provided about 200 letters. Though he is vaccinated, Metza says he wants to offer people the freedom to choose and to pay him money for their choice. Hey, this is pathetic. The religious exemption letter, which is sent via email after filling out a Google form, quotes several verses from the Old Testament to justify the holy objection to vaccine mandates. Which possible messages or verses from the Old Testament? Quoting from the book of Genesis, the letter states that because humans are made in God's image, they should not acquiesce to biological alterations to their bodies. The letter goes on to denounce the stigmatization of substances the alt-right has touted as a treatment for COVID-19, including hydroxychloroquine, which has been found ineffective against the virus, and ivermectin, a drug commonly used to deworm horses that has sent some people to the hospital with seizures. This comes at a time when the federal government and numerous private institutions have begun mandating vaccines for employees, and several people, particularly those on the religious right, it says, have bristled at such requirements. Look, the idea that you would go, and he, by the way, also one of the things that is questionable about this Rabbi Metza is he also sells conversions to Judaism. And one of the things that is always an issue in Jewish life is counting who is Jewish, who is not, who should be counted for a daily prayer quorum and more. And there are many people to become a rabbi, the article says, one must go through rabbinical school and gain a certain level of competence in Jewish teachings before being ordained by another rabbi. None of this is locked down for this Rabbi Metza. I don't have any idea whether his religious exemptions are going to work for people. But we will talk more about this, about the new legislation, the new order by the governor of Texas to protect people against mandates. That and much more coming up in This Greatest Nation on God's Green Earth.